Welcome, everybody. This is DJ Barcode. Right here, I got my boy,
Big
Twinks, the God.
Yes, sir. It's, what, Wednesday morning on a hump day?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. February 5th, 2020.
Oh, we feeling great. A little Cody.
This is episode one of my new podcast. Decided to step out my comfort zone and bring something new to the table this year. Expressing myself. Letting everybody know where my mentals is at and kind of how I think about shit, why I do shit, and how I do shit. You're going to hear all kinds of shit. Open discussion, DJ talk, a little motivation talk, health talk. We'll bring in a lot of guests on the way, have a little fun doing it. Make sure you're 18 and up listening to this podcast. We will be using a little bit of foul language.
A little bit? Yeah, you got me.
Nah, but real shit. We're going to start off today with taking control of your own creative process as a DJ, as an artist, as a mogul, as you can say, aspiring. Anything you want to add to that?
I mean, it's an honor to come in to your first episode. I myself will be creating my own YouTube channel where the same, I'm looking to break out of this and move forward with things. This in itself is going to spark that creative process that I've been missing these last couple years, which is very exciting. Just being a part of all this, being a part of getting into DJing, it's just all elevating. Getting all my juices flowing, making me think differently, and seeing different angles to things. So it's very exciting.
Yeah. Do you think when you were younger, you were you a pretty creative person?
When I was younger, yeah. I had a lot of sales skills. Used to think really good outside of the box and see things differently, which helped me solve a lot of different issues. Mm-hmm. Which is great. Along the lines, while shit happens, life happens, you fall into some sort of dark spaces sometimes, and you lose track of what was really important, what made you you. But, you know, these last couple years, I would say the last year was where I started reconnecting myself back into those old skill sets. And I feel like now I'm in a different mindset, different headspace that I'm allowed to come out and allowed to speak and allowed to just trust myself with what I have to think.
Yeah, that's real. That's real.
Shit. So, I mean, we'll see where this goes. You know, I'm very excited. 2020 is a year to fucking break out of everything and stop holding back. Stop letting fear hold you back from shit.
Facts. Facts.
So it's just about this rocket, you know what I'm saying? So, just had a fire-ass breakfast burrito. My stomach feels happy.
I feel it. You deserve it, too. You've been working hella hard, bro.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
But yeah, man, so it's like, shit, what do you want to get into DJing real quick? Yeah. See, like, how things
I remember the first day, I remember we were talking, we went out to Davis, shout out Kev Marie, man, that was one thing this year, they held us down, you know, this last year and moving forward, so shout out to everybody over there. I remember you introduced me to Doc, shout out Doc J, one of the realists. And you're like, yeah, I know all these DJs, man. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I was like, what's up? You trying to touch the tables, remember? Yeah, and then you were like, oh, no. You were a little nervous, you know what I'm saying? And you were like, well, I know DJs, but nobody's ever actually let me, you know, let me, like, get on. I was like, bro, touch that shit. Like, fuck with it, you know? But, and look where it got you already.
Yeah, yeah. That shit,
but I don't get many people that are interested in this in this world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's this DJ life is in. It really intrigued me, and it really made me want to do it more because it's you get to express yourself in a whole different way through music, through just the beats, through the vibe. Everything is just like it moves through your body. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
And if it can move me, then it can move everybody else. So that. that right there, it was like, okay. And touching those turntables for the first time, I was like, all right, this is where it's at. Like, this is where one of my creative processes is going to be coming out.
So your first experience was not touching a CDJ. It wasn't touching a fucking controller. My God. Not knocking nobody that uses controllers because it's very convenient and technology is a motherfucker. I get it. But the feeling of those decks is
it's something else. Yeah. The art behind it is what's like.
Yeah.
See, because see, I have the CDJs right now, but the reason why I want to go into getting the 12s, it's because the feel and the control from going from a CDJ to the turntables, it's different. I feel like there it's more of a challenge going through the turntables, and you have more possibilities of doing a lot more crazy shit. So down the line, yeah, it's been a little bit difficult to get a feel of them, but I feel like I've been doing all right. So I just got to keep practicing. I got to save up, get my turntables, and see where this life takes me.
Boom.
And see where that goes.
I like it. I like it. Now, talking about the creative process, I kind of want to dabble on my creative process.
Okay.
I don't really have a plan when I do shit. Never have, really. Some people are like, hey, make me a mix, or what are you going to play? That's what I hear every week. What are you going to play tonight? What are you going to play tonight? Still to this day, I don't know, bruh. I never know. I'll decide what first song I want to go with, depending on how I'm feeling when I get there and who's there early or who's there at the time and how I'm feeling. From there, I just go. I'll look up every now and then and just see who's vibing, who's moving a little bit, even if they're not on the dance floor, kind of where, you know, if I see their head nodding, any of that shit, I'll rock with it. I know a lot of people have heard me say it's like fishing. And they're like, what? Right? I'm just throwing hooks out there. Let's say, for example, you got a fishing pole and you can, with one cast, you can throw 5 lines. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I'm doing. I'm throwing something out there. And if I can grab one group or 2 people, you know what I mean? I hook them, and then what I do is I'll use that other line and try to grab somebody else. And if I can pull them all in together, usually you got a party right there. Mm-hmm. You got people moving on the dance floor, and most of the time everybody's just waiting to see somebody else on the dance floor being free, and then they'll open up. Goes back to all that insecurity shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As far as the performing creative process, I kind of let myself be free and, like you said, move myself. If it feels good to me, I know it's going to feel good to somebody else. We're all human, you know what I'm saying? If you got a little bit of rhythm in your body, you're probably going to move. If you don't know how to dance, sorry. Yeah. It ain't my fault.
That ain't my fault. You can get jiggy with it. Get jiggy with it.
So how
is it, like, how do you go about when it comes down to pleasing people? Like, when people start asking, like, you know what, I want this song, I want that song.
Jeez.
And, like, you know, ultimately, you really can't please everybody. But
and I don't try to. Okay, sometimes I do. I'm lying. Sometimes I do. So, like, it also depends on the event, you know. Now, let's say you do a wedding, for example. Your job is to please everybody. Right. Number one, the bride, groom, and then party, and then after that, grandparents, things like that.
Watch grandma want to do the stinky leg real quick.
You feel me?
Pop a hip
which I've seen. But you can get tied up in trying to please everybody. You can get sucked in, and it can go really good for you, but it can also go south, and kind of ruin your own creative process or the way you normally go about things.
Right.
Which I wouldn't say is a bad thing, but it's a thing that doesn't allow you to execute sometimes.
Okay.
That's just how I feel. I want to please everybody, but I've learned you're not going to please everybody in the real world. So you got to kind of do you. Yeah. I mean, I think the thing that got me to where I'm at is doing me, is being Barcode and just going in, rocking parties.
Great answer. I mean, shit, I wouldn't want to please everybody either for the same reason of, like, you know, it blocks off your creative process and where you're going with next. Mm-hmm. I do get it. Sometimes you want to do what you got to do to keep people, but ultimately it's like, nah, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to do me.
Nah. So I get, so for example, I get a lot of Spanish, Latin folks, when they hear me play one Latin song or one, you know, throw it into the mix, it's fucking open season. And, you know, I get them, they come up, which is cool because I got some shit. Right. You know what I mean? I don't know what's being said on the song necessarily, but they want to hear it all night.
Yeah.
They want to hear it all night. But I'm not a Latin DJ, but I am I'm somebody that likes to use different genres and throw it in the mix. So there is where I think out here where I'm from, I get the most flack because they want to hear certain stuff and I'll be like, man, I don't got it. I don't really know it. I don't, you know, like how do I work that?
Because it's hard to work something when you don't understand the language, because ultimately all you have is to go based off of the beat.
Facts, which and is, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Which can work, but in reality, if the song doesn't make sense with the lyrics, then it really, like, the beat really doesn't, doesn't matter. But
shout out to the reggaeton and the old Latin stuff. Shoot, even some of the banda stuff, because I got a couple mixes, bro. Little banda remixes.
Damn, crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't think they'd make banda remixes like that, but... Shit.
I do.
2020, motherfuckers. Everything comes out.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to, say, like, the end of the show, how does the positive or the negative feedback affect you? Say when you don't please people and they come and talk shit, you know, how does that make you feel? How does that go? Does that make you change for the next event? How does this play into your life?
I take it personal. I take a lot of stuff personal. I'm kind of like, I feel like the people that are judging are missing the creative process that is going on at the same time. They're missing the art of the mixing. They're missing that there was a vibe set those 4 or 5 hours. There was execution going on. The sound was being managed right. I was being diverse, usually in a bar scene or club scene. You're getting a very diverse crowd. So... they're missing all those other things that I think I do execute well on, and looking for their 1-2 songs for them to do the perfect snap to or whatever.
Right.
To say, oh, he played my shit, or to fulfill what their friend told them, hey, can you go up there and tell him to play this? Right. You know what I mean? I don't get too much negative feedback. If anything, just attitudes when I don't play, or I hear the, well, we're about to leave in 5 minutes, so you need to play it now type of thing. I feel when I get that, leave, bruh. Leave. Because I'm not obligated to play anything. But if I can make it happen... you know, within the range of the songs I'm playing, you know, being similar BPM or somewhere near that I know I can hit, or maybe the both beats are high energy or things like that. If I feel like, ooh, I can make this happen right now, and it's somebody, if they come up and they're polite and I can make it happen, I'm about to run it. And that's just another line I'm throwing to hook, to pull them in to where I got the rest of the fishies at.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, to touch back on that thing you just said, that a lot of people don't really get the creative process behind the DJing, behind what you do. What do you really think is the percentage of people that actually really pay attention to the art and craft, to the music, or are just there to listen to top hits and just to do their thing and don't really... pay attention to how things transition, to how things are played?
You think...
Like, do you think there's... the majority of people are just there to listen to the song, or they're there actually paying attention to how you get down?
I think most people are there to drink and to be social. Knowing there's a DJ there, it's like, oh, heck yeah, at least we get to hear some music, not a jukebox. But then I think once you get a couple in you, I think most people want to hear that what moves them the most, what they either bump in their car, what's on their playlist on their phone,
right,
things like that. 9 times out of 10, if they just sit back and listen, they're probably going to hear their shit. I think sometimes they sit back and then I catch them. You know what I mean? I'll catch their ear or catch their eye, and then it becomes open season after the fact. I think once they realize, okay, this dude's pretty nice at being open format, at throwing this genre, or this mix in the mix. Oh, dang, how do you do that? Ooh, I bet he can do this. And then they shoot it at me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which is kind of cool. And that's why I tell people I do take requests. You know, a lot of DJs will be like, no, I don't take requests. Well, it's like you probably have a set list that you know you're going to play. I come in free so that I'm down for requests. Like, I'm cool. But I just think I don't think anybody comes in like I'm coming to watch his skills. Right. If somebody is, they're probably a DJ or they know a DJ. Or they're interested in that venue that I'm mixing at. There's usually an alternative motive to reading into the skills part. I don't think many people care these days.
Okay.
I think years ago, I think people used to care more. Like, oh, he's cutting it up. Like, boom, boom, boom. Every now and then I'll get somebody, you know. And sometimes it's an older folk, you know, that maybe knew a DJ back in the day or used to DJ. And they'll come up and be like, hey, you control that well. Like, I see you doing your thing. You know, we get stuff like that. But I think these people don't care these days as much. They just want to hear something so they get good footage for social media and something they can sing along to. I think the sing-alongs hit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, why did you become a DJ? Like, what made you come into this lifestyle?
I think the same thing you said. The ability to... Letting music move me, and I think when that happens, people move, you know, in a social setting, right? If you're in a party and they see you having fun, they're going to want to have fun too, either with you or next to you, or, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's the whole point of us, you know, doing the things we do and being in a social environment and things like that. It's usually looking for a vibe or setting a vibe, but it all started with me and my little sister. Shout out Meek, Nisha. Shout out my mom. You know, she held it down for us. Held it down. You know, me and Meek are pretty close in age, and we used to throw a shitload of house parties. I know a lot of you that are listening probably heard this story, but we should just throw a hella house party. So it'd be all her friends and then me and my cousins and a couple of friends. And, you know, we'd link up probably like twice a week at my mom's house and just, you know, hang out and do it.
That's crazy.
Next thing you know, it was just like, you know, who's controlling the music? Those days it was about CDs. I had a little CD player where you could put 2 CDs in. You couldn't do nothing on top. You couldn't mix or do nothing like that. All you can do, it had a crossfader, so you could just pretty much go from one CD and just fade it across to the other. Had a jog wheel on top. For those of you who don't know what a jog wheel is, it's just a little wheel so you can slow a tempo down or speed it up. Not like a max rate, but just like maybe 0.5 of the beat. Or less. If you go fast enough, you could probably go a beat or two up, a BPM up or down. And then it had a BPM tap button. So it had a button where you had to tap it on the beat, and then a little number would flash. And that would let you know how many beats per minute. That's what a BPM is. So I had that, and we should just play the CDs out of them. And then one day, I was me and my sis was just like, hey, let's invite people. Come on, let's have a big old party. Couldn't remember exactly which party it was or what was going on, but I was like, hey, give me all your CDs. Took all her CDs, took all my mom's CDs, took all my CDs. And I went through each one by one, took out the songs I know people gig to. that I already knew had a reaction from the people just when we played our CDs. There were certain songs on those CD, on certain CDs that we would use. And I took a folder. I took a folder of paper, a binder, put little tabs on them, reburned all the CDs, listed everything. So what I do is I take 10 to 15 songs, right, mm-hmm. on an MP3 CD, reburn it onto a CD, list on the paper what the songs were. Then I would take that CD, put it in BPM, so I had to tap, right, every single track to get that number to flash. And when it tell me the BPM, I'd write that next to the song. So it's pretty much what Serato's layout is now. Right. I did that before, I think it was before Serato came out. I know I didn't know shit about Serato. So it was before they came out with the little Serato box and stuff. You probably never even seen those, huh?
No.
Right, yeah. So, so did that, and the next you know, boom, did the party. And then at that point, I was like, when I had the numbers, I was like, oh, all I got to do is math. It's math after that. All I got to do is match these numbers up. So whether it was BPM 100, I know if another track was a 100, that beat was going to match. And it was up to me to make that sound clean so they didn't stop dancing. And we threw the party. Boom, I'm back there doing it. Nobody was like, oh, he's DJing. It was just, I was always the one throwing the CDs in anyway, so they just thought it was the same old thing. Mm-hmm. But then when people were going, the house was jumping, backyard was jumping, and then nobody stopped dancing, bro. Like, it was going crazy, and it was during the hyphy movement. So people was going dumb everywhere, like everywhere. And shoot, by the end, I mean, people were just like, hey, I'm having a barbecue next week. Hey, I got a birthday going. I don't got no money, but you can eat all you want. You can drink all you want. Like, yeah, I'll do it. And I started thinking, like, shit, I don't got no speakers. I don't got a name. I don't got, you know what I mean? I don't got nothing. But went and did them anyways. Asked my mom if I could use her house speakers from the living room. And, you know, I knew those hooked up to the back of it. And I just pop up at these people's barbecues or little kickbacks, birthday parties, and just start running it. And it took off from there. That no money and free food and you know, a couple drinks here and there turned into $25, turned into $50. Yeah. You know, and as the skills went up and as I acquired more equipment, your value goes up, I guess you could say. And that's really what ignited it. And then going on to the bar scene. It all started with DJ Thuthi V. Shout out to my nigga, bro. We don't talk as much. I mean, we talk here and there, but we don't see each other as much because he moved. But we ain't too far away. Don't get it fucked up. That's my nigga, though.
Yeah.
I love that guy. But it was him. And what happened was we were throwing one of those parties, right?
Right.
Cracking. Super cracking. And him and another DJ, another reggae DJ. So he used to do vinyl, just vinyl, old school stuff, maybe some old hip hop stuff. And then we had one more guy. We didn't have one more guy. There was another local guy that did reggae and stuff. And they were playing at this bar, local bar that people went to. We didn't go to the bars like that. And I think they were coming home. They were driving home after their gig one night, and we were still rocking. You know, bars let out 1:50. 2 o'clock, they're on their way home and they see cars everywhere, people everywhere. So they stop, slide in, like, bro, this shit is cracking. Like, and then he's like, man, you need to come next week. Come with us next week and drop a set. And I was like, I got kind of nervous, I ain't gonna lie. And I was like, I don't know, bro. I don't go to the bars like that, you know? I don't do that. And he's like, trust me, just come, just do whatever you're doing, like that. So he spent all week trying to talk me into it. I think it had to be like Wednesday, Thursday, he talked me into it. So now I'm like, that the creative process started really brewing. Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Or what? Like, how am I going to go about this? And I had those nerves kind of like you get before a football game or something. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The little butterflies. So whatever. We go do it. Or I go and, you know, they start off doing their thing, this and that. And there's locals in the bar that are used to seeing them that now see me like, who the fuck is this guy? I jump on and then I just kind of zone out. I swear to God, that first gig, I never looked up. I never looked up until maybe like mid set, towards the end of the set to see what was going on. But But I was so nervous, I kept my eyes down on what I was doing. You know what I'm saying? But that was probably the best thing I could have did because I wasn't like robotic. I was really locked in and doing and mixing. You know, mm-hmm. I was mixing real shit. And the dance floor never stopped. Never stopped. Open format, all this shit. And rocked the night. And at the end of the night, owner of the bar was like, "What's up, man? Like, what's your name?" I told him my name, Curtis, whatever. And he's just like, "Nah, what's your DJ name?" And I froze. And I was just like, "I don't got one." He's like, "What do you mean?" He kind of laughed. Like, "What do you mean you don't got a DJ name?" I was like, "I don't got one." And he's like, "Well, you need to get one." And he's like, "Man, you know, let's talk. And maybe, you know, maybe we could do something in the future." When he told me that, I mean, I knew these guys got paid. So I was like, "Oh, shit, here's an opportunity to get paid, you know, doing this." And feeling that vibe off those people that night, like the end, you know, people were moving. I knew that. And then the positive feedback from the owner of the place, that motivated me. That motivated me.
Okay.
That was the beginning nice. Of Barcode.
Okay. So, like, for all, even, like, for myself and maybe a lot of new DJs that might be coming up in the next couple years, what are some things that we need to look out so we don't get taken advantage of when it comes down to bar owners, parties, different little things like that? Because I would like to be on top of the game, right. So I know what to look out for, shit like that.
I don't think it's going to be those people that take advantage of you. I don't think. I think, if anything, it's going to be other DJs.
Okay.
It's going to be other DJs or friends.
And can you explain that a little bit more?
Or not friends, but I'd say like associates. Yeah. Because, like, I've had experiences where, like, people knew who I was. I knew who they was, whatever. But once you're in the same industry as somebody or in the same lane as somebody, you are now competition. And if you don't think about that right away, you're too caught up in being a new DJ and figuring out your name and figuring out your equipment, figuring out your music and dealing with your emotions, having to perform in front of people and the insecurities. Mm-hmm. There's so much shit going on. You don't think like, "Oh, this person's taking advantage of me," or "This person is getting over me," or, you know,
yeah.
Things like that. I would just say focus on yourself. Fuck with people that are truly, truly solid with you. You know, what's said in your face may not be what it really, really is. And I was one of those people that took everything seriously, right? Until you show me different. Mm-hmm. So I would, everybody's information, I would take it as, "Oh, this is how it goes," yeah. Or "This is how it's supposed to be." Now, there's a lot of true DJs out here, solid, bro, with skills, mad fucking skills. Now, there were some that were just like, "Yeah, man, like, you gotta, it just takes practice, it just takes practice. Boom. Those are the people, to this day, we can still talk and we can still share information, useful information, things like that. But there's also people, too, like, say, for example, when it came time for me to start advertising and start getting shit up, you know, making flyers and things like that, there's people that, they're, "Oh, yeah, $50, $40, blah, blah, blah," right, to get a flyer done. But now that I elevated and got up on game, I realized motherfuckers is only paying $5-$6, maybe max $8 to get the tools to make a flyer. So they're pretty much making $40-$45 off me, whatever. At the time, cool, worth it. But I didn't have no money then. I didn't have no money. So that $50 could have been into me saving. It could have been into me doing more things to take care of myself. And I was using them to advertise for another opportunity or to bring people or to bring people's awareness to what I was doing. Okay. So it was like, it worked out, because these days you're going to have to spend money for advertisement, right? Okay. But I was being taken advantage of by some people. And then there's other times where oh, "You're doing this party? Let me roll. Well, you're rolling and now you're eating and drinking free too. Yeah. Or you know, you're part of the scene when your intentions were just to get up and not have to work for it. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of shit like that. There's a lot of people that will sit there and they will watch your skills or see how you do things. They will go home and perfect, imitating you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? And then they go off, and now you got somebody in the same lane that's damn near mimicking, whether it be your style, whether it be just there's tools you did that you didn't necessarily pass off, but they just watch. They will sit there and freaking watch you, bruh.
It's crazy.
But so in the same light, you could have just been like, hey, you know, can you help me do this? Can you help me mix? Oh yeah, let's go have a little session, bro. And that's what there's some dudes that would do that. Hey, you know what I mean? Let's have a little session. Boom, call like 3 or 4 DJs. Everybody come in, just do your thing. We'd all be just chopping it up, having a good time, like a little kick it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's where I learned a good base of skills was those little jam sessions and everybody mixing up the creative process. Real DJs, bro, like hands on. Like, guys, and you had to listen to what they were doing. It wasn't like, I'm at your gig, and I'm watching everything you're doing, then I'm watching the crowd, then I'm watching how you're doing things, and, you know, being a fucking troll. It was, boom, dudes cutting it up and doing things I knew for a fact I couldn't do at the time, but there was a sound I was hearing, and when I started going to practice, I had to bring those sounds to life. Okay. So I would say just stay on toes, really, because everybody's going to have their own experiences.
Yeah,
I think you got an advantage because I'm not one of them niggas that's about to take advantage. So,
yeah.
Either way, you got 2 niggas that's on toes the whole time.
Right.
So, I don't think nobody's going to come into this circle and try to take advantage of you.
Right.
I think our connects right now, not connects, but our network right now is strong where the venue owners or the people running things or the people booking things are people that are going to, they know, all right, this guy's going to come execute. Right. This guy's going to party.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Provide what they need.
Yeah. For their real customers. Shit. For real shit. That.
Which, I mean, shit. Real shit. And I really appreciate you taking the time and actually helping me out, teaching me a couple things along the way.
I ain't teaching you no more, nigga, because you're getting hella good hella fast. Shit, I'm going to just sit back and listen now, because fuck.
I mean, shit.
You caught that shit hella fast. Hella fast.
It's just, I don't know. Like,
I've never seen nobody catch on that fast. But you've been around DJs. Yeah. You actually listen to them when you're out there.
Yeah,
we're out there on the scene, boom, 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 doing whatever. But you pay attention to transitions. You pay attention to drops. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why, like, it's always been that way for me. It's always like, everywhere I've gone, it's always, I pay attention to how everything's executed. It's always been like that. That's why I always wonder, like, is there more people that go in there? Like, even before when I, you know, decided, okay, I want to be a DJ, I was always into how they were their creative process. Yeah. So I've always wondered, like, is there other people that go there? And yeah, I mingle, yeah, I party, but do you pay attention to the artist? What I'm saying, you know? But coming back into what you were saying a little bit ago, how do you manage your feelings and emotions when it comes down to people playing you to, you know, you believe mm-hmm. somebody and you run with it, but the next thing you know, it was more of a slap in the face and they were just trying to hold you down. How did you, when you first started your career, how did you manage those emotions to not let you be like, you know what, I don't want to fucking do this no more. You know what, fuck everybody or shit like that.
Nah, I let it fuel the fire, bro. And that's something that comes from sports probably. Like from football, right? Like, I know I told you before, it's like I was the little skinny kid that knew I wanted the ball, but knowing that we were gonna run the ball. We didn't throw the ball that much, so I was like, I need to be the running back if I want the fucking ball every play. You know, when it was showtime, it was like, nah, I'm a running back. Nah, you're too skinny to play running back, bro. Like, you know, you need to be a receiver or something. Nah, I'm a fucking running back. Like, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Having that chip on your shoulder, knowing, let me show you. So when I was the new guy on the scene, it was like, all of a sudden, this nigga think he a DJ. I am. Watch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when I did realize certain people and certain things were happening, it was like, I just... get back to the drawing board. I get out of my own head first.
Right.
And then focus on my skill, focus on what I needed to do to make sure I can execute, to make sure I wasn't swinging too much to what people wanted me to do, and then trusting myself.
Okay.
And then I'd fucking run it.
And what would you say you would do to get yourself out of your head? Is it more of a I don't give a fuck attitude, or like, watch me just work and I'm going to
do it? Yeah, watch me work. I would, real shit, and you can ask my mama to this day, bro. I would go in the room, lock my door, and go crazy for about 4 or 5 hours. Probably sounding like shit. Now that I think about it, good thing I didn't record none of that shit. But if anybody heard everything, it was my sisters and my mom heard me loud ass speakers in the room sounding like shit, bruh. The mixing wasn't shitty, but me trying to cut and, you know what I mean, just throwing hella shit and running it back and trying it again and running it back and trying it again for hours and hours and hours. Probably the neighbors heard that shit too. They was haters though anyway, so I was waking they shit up in the morning. That was, I think that's where I overcame those things, was putting in the work when nobody was really watching or looking.
Okay.
I think that's where I grew. And I think those are things you need to do, I mean, not only in music and life,
with every
to,
aspect.
To battle those things and to battle the hate, right. I guess you could say.
But I feel like most, at the end of the day, at least for me, it's always been a battle within myself. Mm-hmm. I've never really allowed other people's opinions or anything to influence my my next step or my next movement. Yeah. I feel like the biggest enemy that I had because it's not there anymore was myself and my own mindset.
Yeah.
But getting out of that and being able to battle and be like, you know what? Well, fuck it. You know, like just work, just get it done and run with it. You know, trust the process and trust that every day. Now, how do you, when you were in, like, towards your young career, when maybe you didn't got gigs or when you didn't have anything set up, how did you stay motivated to continue to be in the mix, to learn, to become better on a daily basis?
I'm hip-hop. You know, so for those that know hip hop, you know of the elements of hip hop. So through my young life, I've done multiple things. Now, just a little quick, we'll probably have another episode where I go deeper into this. Mm-hmm. But my dad, stories, right? Stories. Yeah. This is from my mom, from family members, from people I've met to this day, like old school cats that would come up like, you look just like your dad. Like, man, I remember your dad used to rock our parties and blah, 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 blah. So I was like, and my mom used to say, yeah, when you were in my stomach, like your dad used to play here and here. And I would go to his gigs and sit right by the speaker and you'd be moving. Da, da, da. You know, you hear those stories or you know, you see kind of, you hear shit on TV. People say stuff like that. But it was real shit. And then I was like, oh, shit, my dad was a DJ. But it was never one of those things like, oh, I'm going to be a DJ too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because when I... the first thing I remember was my dad was a fucking horse trainer. My dad used to ride bulls, ride Bronx, and then got into training horses. So it was like straight country life, you know what I mean? Now, we weren't the type of country guys where we were trying to act like a different culture. Like this was him. So you want to be like your dad, right? Like he was the type in the summer. I wouldn't just be kicking it out here, riding bikes everywhere. I mean, we did that shit every now and then, but he would take me with him. He would take me everywhere. So doing those things, but then on the other end, like my dad wouldn't put on Wranglers and stuff unless he had to dress that way for a certain event or he was going to work. He put on those boots when he had to go to work. When he had to do those things, he put on those jeans when he had to go to work, when he had to rope or ride or, you know, or train. Other than that, he's fitted slacks. You know what I mean? He was an old school cat with the clean little, you know, dress shirt with the slacks.
Dang, dang.
Yep. Some little Stacey Adams, even the penny loafers, bro.
He was out there loafing it?
Yeah. Whatever he had to do.
I see
you know, he was cool as fuck.
Nice.
That's but so there were two sides, but it was him. And some people are like, oh, well, if you're this, you need to be this all the time. He wasn't one of those guys, bro. Like He was a fucking hustler, but he also knew where his skills lied, and he relied on his skills to make it happen. So me wanting to be like dad, but then also being into athletics and stuff like that. Like my dad was also into football. The whole fam is football, bro. Like we were also raised like, hey, we're about to go to the NFL with this, you know, little belief. So it became a time where I had to choose sports over the country life.
How hard was that decision?
Huh?
How hard was it? Because you were pretty good at, was it?
Yeah, you were
good at that. So how hard was it for you to decide between the country and the writing and the football?
It was hard, bro. It was hard because it was just one day and he was like, hey, like, it's time for, like, he was like, we're doing a lot of winning and things like that. He was like, either we're going to start traveling more for rodeo or you're going to play football because, you know, now football is going to take up most of your time, definitely in the summer.
Right.
It's dang near year round for us. It was like that back then. And like, I knew I wanted to play football, bro. Like, I knew it. He was like, either way, it's going to be tough, you know, because you're getting banged up, getting on bulls, you're going to get banged up playing football. What you want to do? And I chose football. And I don't have no regrets or nothing like that. Right. I mean, there's probably some dang what ifs.
Yeah.
But, you know, chose football, ran with it in that route. But football taught me so much moving on. There was things from the country life and getting on bulls and shit that I translated right to football. Like, so being that skinny kid that couldn't play running back, there was no fucking fear, bro. How am I fear, you know what I mean? Another teenager or whatever, when I was just getting on bulls, like some real shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that ain't nothing compared. That's
and my dad was the type to throw me on bigger shit than I was ready for, right? I was a little kid getting on grown men bulls, shit like that. And it taught me a lot. You know what I mean? You had to man the fuck up. No matter how scared you was, bro, you had to nail it. You had to nail it. So that translating to football, just having that toughness and that looking shit right in the face. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when you have that fear or have that doubt, like you look it in the face, bro, and you stand up. You just stand up. And so now with this, thinking about what people think or people trying to hold me back being motivated, I use those things. I use the hate or what I think somebody's hating or whatever. Or may feel or experience, I use that as my motivation. Like, I always got something to prove, bro. And that's everything I do. I always got something to prove. Because if it's not that, they think, well, shit, this ain't, he ain't shit. That, you know what right. I mean? There's plenty of people. Hey, right. Oh, I know that. I know him. He, like, oh, he's not this. Yeah, I am, Nicholson.
Right.
So, I'll play it.
When it comes down to when you just said right now that you always have something to prove, was that something to prove more towards yourself or more for others? You had to prove to others, or do you understand?
No, more to others. I've never really doubted myself. I've never really doubted myself. It's more or less like that. It kind of just
watch me do it.
Yeah. I'm competitive. I'm right. competitive. I have a competitive nature. That's what drives me. That adrenaline, and then I still get adrenaline to this day. So like right before a gig, like I don't get it until like I'm on my way there, or right when I get there to set up, and then it starts. And that's that uncomfortable feeling where I gotta match it, like stand up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not like, oh, can I do this? Or am I good enough for this? It's like, watch me do this. You know? Yeah. So those people that are standing behind me or standing on the side watching the DJ to see if he's any good, I know you're watching. Let me show you what's up.
Yeah.
Or what I got. Not what's up, but let me show you what I got. I'm going to do me.
Right.
You know? Stand up. Stand up. Or the people that thought you couldn't play at this event. Or oh, how is he playing here? Let me show you why.
Right.
And that and those are, I don't think about those things all the time, but I think mainly those are the things that keep me motivated.
Right.
For sure.
Now, how important is having a relationship with the venue owners and staff for you when it comes down to all these events and gigs? I've just personally seen not often.
And you're usually there with me.
Yeah, not often. Right, but there is people that are very just to themselves and really don't talk to anybody. They don't mingle with the staff. They don't mingle. They mingle with the owner because they got to talk to him because of logistics and getting paid and all this and other stuff. But Facts. But they're not there to actually build a relationship with people. Mm-hmm. How is that for you? Like, are you there to build relationships? Or you just do your thing, get me paid, and walk out? Or what's up with that?
I would love to build relationships with everybody. It's not going to happen every time. Some don't have interest in that. As far as, you know, venue staff and owners, I would love to have a great relationship with everybody because I think that allows better communication, number one, and then allows as a business, as two businesses working hand in hand to grow together. I would like to, you know, and we'll small talk, you know, at a couple of places here and there. But the places where we do actually talk and there's a good vibe when we come in to set up or they're giving me free rein to play what I want. Those are the places I feel like I rock the best, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Not saying I mix any different, but it's
gives you
the vibe is fucking night and day when the energy of the staff and things are there. It frees me up. It frees up my mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, for example, I got a place that loves to put barcode in a box. Right? This is what you can play on this night. Knowing, number one, I'm an open format DJ. Knowing every single time I mix, I throw multiple genres. You know, everybody out here knows, but when I get that feeling, whether it be text, messages, other little side notes, things like that on either telling or asking me to stick to genres I normally don't do, I take those things personally. Like I said before, I take everything personal. Right. The setting of the vibe that sets with me is not a comfortable one. And then me getting there, so now I'm getting there to set up, you know, a little bit of nerves going because I'm getting ready to perform. But at the same time, I'm like, well, what's going to happen if I do this? What's going to happen here? So now I'm like, I'm holding back in a way. You know what I mean? Like there's things that people are asking me for songs. So I was like, ooh, like I'll drop this right now. Like, and then I'm like, I better not, you know, or I got to let them know, I'm sorry. I can't really play that right now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Which takes you off your element and takes you off who you are.
Facts.
Essentially. Like,
facts.
So you're no longer DJ Barcode. Now you're just a DJ.
I'm a fucking jukebox at that point. Yeah.
I might as well just fucking, get that touch tunes.
Yeah.
Touch tunes playing shit.
I'm a fucking robot at that point.
Yeah.
And, which is what it is, but if I can keep it real, I still do that shit, though. I'll still play that shit.
Yeah, fuck it.
Like now, but I've had my time where I bent to what people were telling me to do, and then it was like, you can see the vibe just change, and people are, you know, if they came for barcode, they're like, he's not doing him.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
But then it's like, you want you host DJs to bring in people, to bring in money, to bring in an energy, to bring in a vibe. Now, if you cut him back from that or cut them back from that,
you can get
what are you doing to yourself?
Right.
But then the excuses were trying to eliminate problems.
But, yeah,
that
I mean.
That comes internally, bro.
Yeah.
That comes internally. That has nothing to do with.
Music. Bro, like.
Yes. Fact.
You can't. Like, there's.
Now, some people are like, okay, music changes your.
Your mood.
Your mood and things like that. Well, fuck, dude. If I, like, I don't know. I don't know a DJ that plays just something that makes people stop what they're doing, grab a fucking bottle, and smash it over somebody's head. You know what I'm saying? And me, real shit, I broke up more fights than some fucking security at bars. You know what I'm saying? Just me, I happen to look up and I see something about to pop. And if I, you know, if I know somebody that's in it, I'll drop those headphones, boom, get between it, like, nope, boom, move it, like, come on. You know what I'm saying? Get back up there and keep it in the mix, whatever. I'm starting to prevent from doing that, you know? Just like, you know what? Fuck that. Like, you handle, like, you, as a staff, you guys handle it. You know, but I don't see too many fights, bro. I don't see too many fights. Usually people are moving or they're bobbing their head or they're trying to dance with the ladies or, you know what I mean? Yeah. Usually when the shit happens is when the vibe is low, it's different, and people are stuck standing there drinking and staring at each other. That's usually when it happens. It doesn't happen when people are moving, dancing, mingling, and or watching people dance and have a good time. That doesn't make you wanna. That doesn't make you wanna tee off on somebody. You feel me?
No, that's called something else. It's called drugs.
Yeah, that. Yeah,
I ain't gonna lie. That's that. Ultimately, that's what it is, bro. Like, you on? You think you're unstoppable? Somebody bumps you, you fucking just snap because you're already at that level.
Feel me?
You're at the level that you ain't gonna touch me. I don't give a fuck what you think.
Yeah.
You know. So it's instant reactions, and you know, but fuck it. Ultimately. If bar owners want to continue to do this, ultimately their pockets are the ones that are going to be hurting, and they're the only ones that are going to be affected. Because at the end of the day, there's more opportunities for you to go somewhere else, more opportunities that will be coming that where they actually appreciate your talents and what you have to offer.
Facts.
So,
okay. So for example, like I said at the beginning, shout out Cat Marie. One of my favorite spots I've ever played at. It's one of them for sure, and was also that place, that venue was on my bucket list years ago, like years ago. Like one day I'm a mix in there. Like I know it's not big to some people locally, but for me, from where I came from the room in my mom's house, that place was one of the places where like I'm a mix there one day, bro. That shit would be so hard. And having the opportunity to do that now, thanks to you, right? You brought me in on your birthday.
Yeah.
You're the one that gassed him up, like, bro, bring my boy in. You and a couple other people were putting it in their ear. And then your birthday was my opportunity to show them what I can do. And we went crazy.
Oh, yeah.
We went crazy.
Yeah.
That. You know, so shout out to them. But from day one, I remember he came up to me. I'm setting up. He came up. He's like, hey, just to let you know, you do what you want. You play with what you want. You do not have to take requests from anybody. If anybody gives you a hard time about playing music, come tell me. I'll kick them out. And I was like, no, bro. Like, you don't got to kick nobody out. I was like, it don't got to be like that. I was like, I actually like requests because it kind of gives me some what they're looking for. You know what I mean? And then I can swing that way, whatever. And he's like, all right, cool. Even better. But if somebody gives you a hard time, let me know.
Yeah.
But it was open season. They were just like, here's this place where College Town, like, who knows who's going to be in there. There's probably going to be other DJs there. Yeah. There's all kinds of people that have heard all these great DJs, and you're telling me I can do exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. Let's go. You know what I mean? Open season, full creative process, like, do what you want to do. I'm in my element. It's time to rock.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I think the relationships built there are great. I'm excited about moving forward. I got a couple other venues that are reaching out, and they're interested in linking back up after a year or two. So I think the relationships with these people are key, and the understanding on what each other are trying to do and do are very, very important. That way we can communicate right, and we can create great vibes and great events for people. And that's what people want, is a great experience when they go there. Not just the same old, not right. Just every DJ playing the same genre, hearing the same songs that everybody heard in high school. There's so much music. I just think we need to create an environment of fun. And new things, and hearing new music, and being exposed to different styles of mixing and different, just different ways.
Right. Which at the end of the day is what helps you grow your following. Because
facts.
From like
facts.
Not just because you're my boy. I ain't like fuck that. I'll be straight up. Like it
gotta be.
There's your style is different. I don't know how. I feel it when
I've heard that before.
I said, like you mentioned before, I've been around them. I've been around a lot of DJs, and everybody has their own style. Everybody's fucking great from all the people that I've kicked it with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's, I don't know, there's something about your style that is different. That is just, I don't even know how to put it into perspective, but.
I know it's contagious because I've seen people kind of rip.
Yeah.
Just small little things, you know what I mean? I'd be like, cool. You know what I mean? I don't take it like, hey, that's mine, because it's not mine, because there's influence on other DJs that make me do the shit I do too. Some of the things, ways I go about things, not things that I do, but when you see somebody else kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of moving off of you, it's kind of like, hell yeah, like,
you're doing something right.
Yeah. Yeah. But I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
I've always tried to find the way to explain that, but I just can't. It's like, it's something that you just have to really pay attention to. Listen and just feel the vibe. Facts. That's the only way I can explain it. Is if you go to like a, say an event, listen to all these DJs and actually pay attention to their style, to their vibes and everything, and then they'll see what I'm talking about when it comes to your style.
Facts.
But that's the only way I can explain it.
Yeah.
Because I really have no words for it, because I don't know how. But it all comes down to the vibe, to the movement, and to what the ear catches.
Yeah. I think it comes down to execution.
Yeah.
Are you coming to execute or are you coming to play music? Now, I have times where, like, say I set up and it's early. Not many people there. You know, obviously the dance floor is not going to be rocking, things like that. So I can be up there and just go fucking crazy and, you know, because this is all I know. Or I use those times as kind of, like, kind of a warm-up, but, like, practice in a way. Right? So I'll dig in the crates, you know, I'll pull some old stuff out or something I haven't played in a long time or something I haven't heard loud yet. You know, maybe I downloaded it quick or something like that. And I'm just like, ooh, I want to see what this sounds like loud. Pull it out, like, you know, and kind of play with it. And as people, you know, as people start paying attention to things, I'll start amping up. You know, I'll start amping up and revving up. And I think as the night goes on, I start to focus more on the execution to make sure the sound quality is good, to make sure transitions are dumb clean, you know, all those things. Making sure, if I can, people are hearing what they want to hear. I keep throwing those lines out consistently, right? Because I can get caught up in a lot of different things and stop throwing lines, stop throwing those hooks out that I talked about at the beginning. And when you do that, your vibe changes, your execution changes, because it's like, hey, like, it was like, boom, 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 and then all of a sudden, like, it was like, what are we going to do now? I guess we'll go to the bar and grab a drink, like, you know, so that's one thing I pride myself on, the execution, and I don't think people should be paying for a service if the execution isn't there.
Right.
I want to make sure the money is it's worth it.
Right.
That's something I take pride in, though.
Right. Now, being in the scene for as long as you have, do you feel that the party life has changed, or do you feel like things are continuing to be the same when it comes down to just the vibe, to the drugs, to the after parties, to the vibe people say?
It's changed.
In what way?
For me, I mean, it's different for everybody in this game, but for me, it's changed. Okay. For example, so back in the day, right? Obviously, during the hyphy movement, right? You would get. It was a different type of drug that was on the scene. You know what I'm saying? Those drugs. We're not gonna get into specifics.
Yeah.
The drugs, but. Now, I'm not saying I was not on these drugs. Note. So for you listeners, don't get it fucked up, bro. It makes people move different. And this is not like a new age thing. This comes from history of hip hop. history of DJs and clubs. Drugs have always been in these clubs, in the discos, and things like that. If you don't know, do your research, and you will see how and why. But now, when the DJs were getting on, the DJs were the ones that brought on the MCs. The DJs were the ones that were supposed to control the party. Well, the D-Boys or whatever were the ones that were, oh, I knew 100 people will be there. 200 people are going to be at that club or whatever. Perfect opportunity to get that many people in one box and do what you had to do. Right? So if you get the majority of the party on fucking drugs, DJ sounds even better. The experience is fucking crazy. So people are just, so back then, I mean, people are all over the place. They're going dumb. You know what I mean? It's just, people are sweating and moving. It was okay to have your shirt drenched in sweat during the party. Now, people get hot and be like, oh, I gotta stop. It's getting hot.
Yeah.
Right? It's all about the look, right? Yeah. I want to make sure I'm still looking good. I want to make sure when I take that next picture, my hair and makeup's not messed up. I don't want my shirt sweaty. Boo. All right, like, cool. I get it, though. I get it. Different type of cast, different type of time, but also different type of drugs. I think the drugs are a little different now. So people's energy has changed. Hyphy movement. You had the party rock days, right? Where the high energy was taking over. Yeah. The fist pumping, you could say fist pumping music, but I mean, we weren't doing that shit like that out here, but those songs were rocking the fucking party. They were setting a vibe. It kind of transitioned to up-tempo stuff. And then everything went back to the South for a minute, right? So Atlanta and them started fucking, Texas and Atlanta started taking over, or Texas through Atlanta, all that shit started taking over, even Florida, and everything slowed back down as far as music, right? The drugs started changing.
Yeah.
So then the energy started changing in people. So some DJs were like, ooh, I knew this song used to work a couple years ago. They throw it, and then people weren't jumping no more. They'll walk off the stage. Walk off the dance floor. And then it's like, oh, this DJ's weak. Like, he's weak. Like, don't nobody want to hear all that house. It's not house. Nigga, it's not fucking house. But I get it. I get what you're relaying into. But then those people aren't looking at the skills. They're not looking at what was going on. All they know is that energy was too fast. How do I dance to this?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think as the drugs change, so does music, and the influence on music changes, because some, honestly, in our culture, in the hip-hop culture or whatever, I'd say in music culture in general, drugs have a big influence on how these people's creative process works. How many people get fucked up off drugs and alcohol and then get in the studio, or they're in the studio, you know? Mm-hmm. Getting on while they're creating. So some people need that to free up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I get why it goes hand in hand, because those people's creative process, their experience in that booth or creating that song is exactly what they're putting out for you to have that same experience or to feel like you're part of that song. There's a connection there.
Right.
There's a mental connection there, being on the same thing, being on the same buzz or whatever. So I think when you understand that as a DJ, you're able to kind of pinpoint, ooh, these are these type of folks, da 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 da. You can almost guess. If you got some skills, you can almost guess how these people rock before they even know it. And then you hit them with it, and next thing you know, they're moving.
Yeah.
They might not know how to dance worth a shit, but you know what's gonna make them move by what they're on or whatever. But it sucks. It sucks to see people have to be on all kinds of shit, but it's reality.
Right.
We used to go out a lot. We used to go out a lot after, you know, after parties. Somebody's like, oh, everybody's going to the house. Boom, 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 boom. Everybody would meet up and just continue to drink and kick it, whatever. Obviously, there'd be a lot of people doing extra shit. I wasn't one of those people that really liked to do that, you know. But we'd continue drinking, things like that.
Blow some tree.
Yeah. Till till early in the morning. Yeah. And then get up out of there and then get up out of there. But other than that, man, now I'm all about going to execute, working, getting up out of there.
Yeah.
And then resetting for the next day because I got shit to do.
Yeah, not bad.
You know, not let my body fall off for a couple of days, but
Well, shit, I appreciate all the tips and information you have shared with me and many others that I might be looking into doing this DJ thing. I just got one more question. Is there any other tips you think I can be useful for me in this early in my young career and for many others that might be already in the DJ scene that need to find a different way or a different little, you know, a little boost to move forward?
I don't think you need to do anything necessarily different. I'd say touch those fucking tables more. That I think, because that was, for me, that was the one thing. And there was a couple DJs that told me some, you know, some small things like practice, like keep, like stay on those things. Whether somebody's there or not, turn that shit on. Get some music going, dip in your crates, play with music, find your sound, find your, like, go to work, pretty much. Go to work. Do the dirty work now, bruh. I mean, you're in a great opportunity right now because you're going to all the gigs. Like, you've already dropped a couple sets. Like, just get on the tables more and just keep digging for music, you know, creating music, things like that, and just stay an open book mentally. Stay an open book. Soak everything up. Take in everybody's information. It's up to you how you want to use it. But take all that shit in and just have fun, bro. Like, do you. Like, do you. Like, you roll with me a lot, so there's going to be sounds where you feel like you need to sound like me, but you don't.
Right.
But naturally, as humans, we do that. But don't feel obligated like, oh, shit, I got to mix like this. Like, do what the fuck you
right.
feel like doing, and that's going to be your own creative right. process, and that's what's going to kind of put a stamp on your name and what you want to do, right. if you want to continue doing it one right. day, because yeah. there's going to be a time where you're going to be like, man, is this shit even worth it? I'm not, you know what I mean?
Right.
But
I think that comes down to everything that you ever want to do, at least for myself, every time that I want to do something, when it got hard, when things got difficult, I would ask myself, is it worth it? But it's easy to say it's not, because it's easy to revert back to your old lifestyle, it's easy to give up on things. But initially, like, I think everything is worth it if you already started doing it.
Facts.
Because you wouldn't have done it if it wasn't worth it.
Yep.
The thing is that it's not easy. Shit ain't never gonna be easy. It's always a fucking challenge.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the beauty about things. Because if everything was easy, then everything would be fucking boring. And everybody would
Facts.
Have everything.
Facts.
But it's just, like you said, keeping your head straight, working on it, and just not giving up on your own style. Which is, like, these last couple of days where I touch the decks by myself and I'm there.
Yep.
Like, I hear your tips and I hear everything, but I know that it's hard for me to go about that. So I have to, okay, this is the outcome of this tip, but how can I do it my own way?
Yeah.
And finding how to do that. And it's where I became more comfortable, where I'm having fun with it. I still, like, I sound like garbage, but it's fun, you know, because I'm just like, okay, how can I make this sound better?
Mm-hmm.
What do I got to do to make this sound better?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just moving along with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had my times like, fuck, like, this is hard. This is shit's not, like, is this even for me? But it comes down to just everything else. It comes down even to just working out.
Yeah.
Like, it's been fucking a mission. It's been how I put my body through a lot of shit. I put my mind through a lot of shit. But it's like, there was all these times where I would wake up so fucking sore, not seeing results like I wanted to, from the work that I put in, and I ask myself, like, is this even fucking worth it?
Yeah.
Am I even, what the fuck am I gonna do?
Yeah.
But not knowing that in reality, whatever you do is for the long run. Like, nothing gets done in 3 months. Nothing gets done in 6 months. Damn near nothing even gets done in a year.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to go more than that, but it's, are you willing to commit to yourself and to what you like and what you love?
Facts. And I am a DJ, and yeah, like, this is, it's part of my life. So it's part of,
like,
my life.
And I want this to be part of my life because it's something that I connected with within my heart and my soul. It's not something like, oh, you know what, this is cool to do. This is part of the clout. Like, I want to fucking have this fame.
Yeah.
It's not. Like, I ain't even looking for, like, hey, you know what, I'm going to become a fucking big ass gig DJ. Like,
yeah.
I'm just looking for, I'm doing this because it connects me to me.
Yeah.
It connects me to my mind. It lets me explore my creative process, like we were talking about. It just allows me to become me. If I can make money off of it, if I can do gigs, then so be it. I'm not going to say no to that.
Yeah.
But that's not why I'm doing it. I'm not doing this for clout. I'm not doing this for any of that. Like I said, this is just for me to start connecting with myself, to push me to do more things down the line that interest me, to know that I have the capabilities to dip into something new and know that it'll be okay when times are tough in the beginning.
Yeah.
And just go from there.
Yeah.
So, I appreciate that. All this information you've given me and given all these other people, allowing me to be in your show, your podcast, Barcode Original. Barcode the Original?
Yeah.
You know, see, like, this shit's, it's an honor to start this off with you.
And we're about to go crazy with it.
This shit's about to be.
About to go crazy with it. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited. And this might be the most formal episode.
Yeah, for X. Because even when we did Don't Go X, that shit was funny. That shit was legit.
If I can fucking find my file to that.
But
that will be posted. The shit was hilarious. We were in Tahoe for 3 days, mixed 3 days out there. Me, DJ Thuti V, and Twinks, D, God.
That shit was one.
It was an episode.
It was a great weekend. It was an
episode.
I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, so if we can find that footage.
I think I have the ones from Tahoe.
I might have it somewhere.
The only ones that I don't have were the ones that we created before that. The ones that we started off first.
Yeah.
The ones that I think was at my house.
Yeah.
I don't have those files.
The files that if we have the ones with Thuti, though, those were hilarious.
Yeah, I think I have both of those. I have both of those.
But yeah, I appreciate you being here, man. Starting this shit off February 5th, 2020. This is Barcode, man. Signing off. All right.
See you guys later.
Boom.